Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Genuinely appreciate Dan Wetzel's time. He doesn't do a ton of that stuff, but truly appreciate him coming on the show. This segment brought to you by Ford. Tune in every Monday to Build Ford Tough Bears Monday. Brought to you by your local Ford stores. The story is complicated, and some of the texts that are coming in genuinely do surprise me after listening to some of that. Like, how could that person defend Greg Schiano that much? Or it's clearly in the court documents that he knows. Like, those are just fact errors.
And even me, who's like there on, like, I believe McQuarrie's testimony, but McQuarrie said he heard it from Tom Bradley.
Right.
You know what I mean? So that's what makes it hearsay. It's not McQuarrie saying he told me. It's McQuarrie saying Bradley told him that Schiano told him.
Exactly. And so, like, again, the attorney general who prosecuted the Sandusky case did not bring charges against Schiano nor investigate that third-party claim. Greg Schiano is rich and famous, and no civil suit was brought against him by any of the victims, like, hey, Greg Schiano saw me, he could have stopped it, anything like that. Greg Schiano denies it. Greg Schiano was in his 20s, graduate assistant, early assistant head coach. He's currently employed, and I'm all for protest. I'm all for making people pay for sins of their past. Like, this is not, people were making like huge leaps in terms of like Kevin Spacey stuff or Harvey Weinstein stuff or all that. This is not me defending what happened at Penn State. I was as outraged as everybody else. I do feel fairly comfortable being on the other side of Clay Travis on most issues. And he is out there tweeting out John Curry, the athletic director's phone number, and leading his internet mob to bombard him with emails and calls and text messages.
And they got what they wanted.
So I hate seeing Clay Travis and his ilk win. But most of all, facts need to matter. They need to. It is like the crux of what we do. Not like you and me and this nonsense of sports, but like, they have to matter. And if your stance is that nobody ever associated with Penn State should be employed in college sports ever again, then okay.
That's kind of where I am. And I know that it means I'm making assumptions. Like, assistant coaches, if they're mentioned at all, did they know? I kind of believe they did. And I'm uncomfortable hiring somebody to be, especially the head of a program. So I wouldn't do it again.
And what I would just say is, Bradley's at UCLA and Schiano's at Ohio State,
yep,
and they recruit and they fundraise and they have private meetings with young men right now, and mm-hmm, no one is out there calling for their firing over it. I'm all for like the vast majority of these types of things, but facts need to matter, and it just doesn't strike me as inherently fair that there are no facts here. And they hired an athletic director to do a job, to hire the next coach.
Uh-huh.
He did it. He vetted it. And then because of a rumor, a third-hand rumor that has been denied, the guy loses out on a job. And is it the end of the world that he can't be the head coach of Tennessee?
No, of course not.
Of course not.
But you're looking at the process and how in a post-fact society things like this happen and damage a guy's career.
Facts have never mattered less. And people who have less facts have never had more power. And that is a huge problem in society, in politics, mm-hmm, in sports, and whatever. And so when I see it in sports, I'm gonna like, give me some facts here.
I know. Let me ask you this, though. This is where my brain goes. Do you think that there were assistant coaches there, possibly including Tom Bradley, but there were other assistant coaches there? Hell, Franny Gantner, right, was there for 25 years as the offensive coordinator?
Yeah.
Or more than that. Do you think there were assistant coaches there who knew this was happening and did the very least that they could possibly do and look the other way, and then denied it to the hilt. In fact, still deny it to the hilt.
Of course. And okay. How do you live with yourself?
How?
Yes, of course.
So how?
Of course.
And I Paterno denied it to the end.
Of course.
So when I feel this strongly that there are guys who just completely denied it and did the very least they could do, and then move on with their life, it's very... It's so easy for me to put Tom Bradley in that category. And then when he says that Shiano told him, and I believe McQuarrie because he's proven to be an incredibly reliable witness, it's very easy for me to then put Shiano there.
Okay. But if you
and
do
I know
put,
as, I know.
If you do put him there, what you're saying is that you don't trust these people to look out for the interest of men,
right?
Young men,
young
because
men.
They have enabled child rape in their past. So we should be leading every show with fire Bradley at UCLA, fire Shiano at Ohio State.
Yeah, that's not a fair comment because, look, this is a head coach, and it's obviously in the news now, and we are doing a show in Chicago, and it's interesting now because it's a head coach and all the other crap that happened.
Right.
So, look, I do believe there's a difference between head coach and assistant coach in terms of being in charge of a culture, so maybe it sadly means that Greg Shiano doesn't get to be a head coach anymore. That apparently is what it means.
I don't know that anyone's going to get into the Greg Shiano business going forward for be the head coach because of seeing this, and what I just don't find it genuine, not from you, from Clay Travis and his ilk, because if this was John Gruden, would not happen.
And I completely understand that, and
if
I agree with
Chip
you.
Kelly, it would not happen. If it was Urban Meyer, it would not happen.
Sure.
It happened because they think
they deserve
that the
a better
Tennessee
coach.
Job is better than Greg Schiano, and that is the definition of faux outrage. I'm sorry it is.
Oh, no, I understand that completely. And that's
that,
why
that is ridiculous,
and that's
man.
Why here we are.
You want to talk about worship on a culture and prioritizing football over stuff that matters?
Yep.
That's gross.
It is gross.
That is the politician who uses gun violence to say, what about Chicago, when they don't really give a damn about Chicago.
Uh-huh.
Stop deflecting.
Sure.
These people in Tennessee do not really care about Greg Schiano and Penn State and child rape. They don't care.
Right. Or the
they
politician,
want a better coach.
Politician who goes after a Republican for an issue that they then make an apology about a Democrat for.
Right.
Whatever,
so
of course.
Stop being so gross.
I agree.
Stop using the Penn State scandal to do. I mean, that is the. You want to talk about scum? That is scum behavior.
Which is why here we are. You're in a position where some will say to you, "You are defending Greg Schiano and the institution of Penn State,
which is ridiculous."
And I'm defending Clay Travis and faux outrage.
Right.
And that's not what I'm doing either.
I understand, but it just. Oh God, man! When I saw this story, I was like, it put me in. Like you just said, it put me in a weird place. I covered those Rutgers teams with Greg Schiano when I was covering Syracuse football.
Yeah.
I think that he is a completely overrated coach. I never thought I'd be here.
Let's talk about
it's
that for a minute.
A weird place.
So you think Schiano's an overrated coach?
Totally overrated.
Our guy Michael Lombardi, just what, 2 weeks ago?
Yeah.
Said that Greg Schiano is the next Bill Belichick if somebody would give him a chance.
Urban Meyer loves him. Belichick loves him. All the Patriots people love him. They say that he is a great defensive coach all that.
And Lombardi said like he could be the guy who shops for the groceries and makes the meal and curates the assistant coaches and then enables them. And like he could be that auteur guy like Belichick. So that's crazy to think about that Lombardi still thinks Schiano's that guy.
I can't wait to talk to Lombardi about it. I find the story fascinating on a number of levels, and I resent being painted either directly or indirectly by people being like, see, this is why protest matters. I'm all for supporting protests.
Uh-huh.
Absolutely. Of course. Of course. But there should be some facts. It's a huge accusation against someone.
Let me ask you this.
It's a gigantic accusation.
So what if the cost of being an assistant coach who was dealing with an understandably morally incredibly difficult place at the age of 24 where he reported it and was told we'll take care of it and they didn't, right? What if the cost of that is then that you can't be a head coach? But you can work in college football, but you can't be a head coach.
Then listen.
What
so
if that's
be it.
The
I don't.
Cost?
So be it. I don't make the rules.
Right.
And I understand that Greg Schiano is not the most sympathetic of figures.
Right.
I understand all.
And this is all muddled by the Schiano's abilities and Clay Travis's intentions and all of that.
I am merely suggesting that it should not be taken as some sort of fact that Greg Schiano covered up child rape.
That is. I understand.
That is. I don't know how you don't feel sympathy for that person if you do not know it to be true. Like, that is an accusation that should come with an immense amount of facts. Mm-hmm. And it's not like this case doesn't have an immense amount of facts attached to it.
Yeah, then there's that, yes. It's just that the understandable moral outrage was so palpable and so visceral and so worthwhile that the faux outrage guys find this very easy to take advantage of.
But how low on the intellectual totem pole do you have to be, or the moral totem pole do you have to be to, like, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to take advantage of the Clay Travis is the worst.
You follow him to get mad.
I do. That is accurate. That is accurate. And I believe in, like, seeing the other side.
I understand.
And, like, you know, I believe in all.
We all have those people.
Yeah.
I get it. I don't follow any to get mad anymore, I don't think. But
He is the worst. And it pains me how much power that he has in our world. And this is what I talk to you about, man.
Because he's taking advantage of this, of the outrage that does actually exist.
Yes.
To drum up the faux outrage.
And he talks about stuff that matters. He doesn't just talk about, like, this SEC fan base is the drunkest. He talks about Black Lives Matter and child rape and homicide statistics.
He's the worst.
He is the worst.
I know. Remember when he,
the worst.
I love when he called out Colin Kaepernick for not really having a troubled youth because he had white adoptive parents, thereby proving that he believed in white privilege to begin with.
Yeah.
Remember that? That was a great moment for Clay.
You effing donkey, Parkins. There wasn't enough facts to prosecute. Doesn't mean it didn't happen. I know. Next texter. Court documents are pretty damning. They're not. The court documents on Schiano are not that damning.
They are, from a reliable source, what an unreliable source heard from
Greg Schiano.
I know. I just have always thought that so many in that program knew and just didn't do enough. So that's how you get here. I think
I find it fascinating. Hey, man, I really do.
I think the crystalline point is, if John Gruden had been an offensive assistant under Joe Paterno in 1996, Clay Travis wouldn't give a crap,
and he would be the nobody at Tennessee would give a crap,
right? And he would be the Tennessee head coach today. He would be the Tennessee head coach today.
100%. And I don't know how that doesn't offend most rational people's sensibilities. That just doesn't strike me. Not like, forget fair. Mm-hmm. It doesn't even make sense. We shouldn't live in a world where that's acceptable.
I'll tell you what offended my rational sensibilities,
please,
Danny, is when the punt team for the Bears took the field on third down. The punt team took the field on third down, and they had to call a timeout.
I guess we can get back to the Bears.
Well, and then there was another time where they had 10 people there on the offense, right? Who got hurt? Was it Inman who got hurt?
I believe it was Inman.
Right?
Yeah.
Inman got hurt on a deep ball attempt.
Yeah.
And so they had 10 men on the field and had to call timeout. That's a timeout with 10 men on the field, another timeout when the punt team takes the field on third down. Other than that, the Bears were well coached yesterday.
We have to get back to the Bears, don't we? Fine.
We don't have to.
We'll do it. It's fine. It's Beagle and Parker's on the score.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
Pam Oliver from Fox, the audio brought to you by KFC. Get your family the gift of a $20 fill-up from KFC. You put it on the table instead of under the tree, but they'll still love it. KFC, it's finger-looking good.
Let's just go back to basics. Says John Fox to Pam Oliver. What exactly are those basics? Run, run, pass? Run didn't work. Passes didn't work. Back to basics. 11 people in the huddle, please. Can I request 11 people in the huddle? Oh, boy.
Well, John Fox is speaking in 2 hours today, so I guess he's not getting fired.
I guess not. Between that game and 1:30, not getting fired. People calling for it. People who were not calling for it recently now.
Suddenly, that was the straw for some people. I find that stuff kind of funny because we know he's not good. We know he's not the long-term answer, and we know he's not the offensive guru when you drafted the quarterback. So I find the Packers game was the final straw. No, the Eagles game was the final. Okay. Like, as long as we all end up at the same place, I don't really care. you know what I mean? Like, okay, whatever. Like, this is the time. That's the time. Just make sure you do it. Just don't let him be the head coach of the Bears on January 2nd. Like, he's got to get fired January 1st. That's all you got to do. As long as they do that, everything's fine.
I guess. But I just want them to use their time well, Danny.
Yeah, sure.
They've got five more games.
That'd be nice.
I want to see Adam Shaheen get more than 17 snaps. You yourself last week called him perhaps the second most important young bear to get a look these final 6 weeks.
I would be forcing the ball to Adam Shaheen. Absolutely.
How about forcing him on the field?
That would help. Sure. Between the white lines.
Daniel Brown had 30 snaps. What do we need to learn about Daniel Brown, people? Let Adam Shaheen run those patterns. Deion Sims was out there for 20 snaps. Okay, you want two tight ends? How about Sims and Shaheen? Why not? How about Tariq Cohen in the two-minute offense? Still not there. Still not there. Let me ask you this.
I don't know how much two-minute offense you were really seeing when they're down by four touchdowns.
The entire fourth quarter, most part.
In theory, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
In theory, that was a two-minute offense, yeah.
The 23 Benny Cunningham snaps, the five Marcus Wheaton snaps. I mean, you know, there was Trey McBride, 78%. Look, maybe Tariq Cohen is, maybe we're thinking too much about him. Here's a text. Let me ask you what you think about this from 6711. Although yesterday was discouraging regarding Mitch. And by the way, we've talked about that multiple times. Danny and I, Mitch had a bad day. Although yesterday was discouraging regarding Mitch, the last eight games have been extremely discouraging on Tariq Cohen. I'm not sure he is good. Definitely not a kick returner. And defense is key on him when he's in the game and he seems limited. Did we fall in love too much with a short little fun scat back in the first couple of games who has limited utility?
Tariq Cohen is a gadget player, but they have no other gadgets.
Right.
So that makes him the first weapon when on a good offense, he should be like the fourth weapon. Like if Tariq Cohen was on a team with a number one wideout, a number two wideout, a tight end, and a battering ram running back, and then like Tariq Cohen was your change of pace guy.
Like the Eagles.
Kind of like the Eagles.
Like Corey Clement on the Eagles. How good does Corey Clement look?
Alvin Kamara. Not quite Alvin Kamara, but that role.
Well, let's talk.
Kamara only has 125 touches this year, and he's averaging over 8 yards a touch.
8.5 yards.
Which hasn't been done, I think, in NFL history with anybody over 100 touches.
Alvin Kamara is one of those guys who looks like a special athlete among special athletes. Like when you watch Julio Jones and you're like, that guy's different from everybody else. You watch Kamara, he is tall and smooth and blindingly fast and lithe. Yeah. That's a special dude.
So to me, like what's happening with Tariq Cohen right now, clearly, of course, teams are keying on him because the secret's out on what he could do and he can't do everything. Right, he's not an every down back. They're not running in between the tackles that much. They want to give those carries to Jordan Howard. He doesn't know the 2 minute offense, so he's limited in the number of plays that he even knows right now. So of course Tariq Cohen is trending downward and not looking good. But like Tariq Cohen's a piece.
Yeah, sure.
He's just not a championship piece. He's not a big piece.
What do you think of the Corey Clement thought as a random running back? Had a nice career at Wisconsin. Yeah. As the third
Hopefully
or fourth running back
that.
There. Hopefully.
Yeah, but like even Darren Sproles, right? And Darren Sproles is an awesome, awesome football player. He's not a Hall of Famer. He is an awesome football player.
Uh-huh.
He still is never the main weapon on a good team. He's just a guy that does different things, that fits in really well. Darren Sproles had 65 rushing yards and 40 receiving yards and a 50-yard kick return today. What a player. Like, he's just an all-purpose player. And that, to me, that still is the ceiling for Tariq Cohen. But Darren Sproles has been his most effective when he's been on good teams.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
Spiegelman Parkins brought to you by Burlington. Your Burlington store is packed with everything to get your home holiday ready for less. Throws, pillows, barware, serving platters, holiday decor, all at amazing savings. Burlington style for everyone. Great holiday present over the weekend was the I'm Fat podcast.
I haven't listened yet. I'm
Jay Zawoski, Rick Camp, debating turkey v. ham, Thanksgiving food power rankings, right, doing it over Skype.
No debate at all.
I just loved it.
That was the most beautiful gift that you guys left for us last Wednesday. They were both off, and there was a rejoin that had the open to the I'm Fat podcast, and then there is an episode. I haven't had a chance to listen. I need to.
There is an actual I'm Fat podcast. There's no longer metaphorical, hypothetical. But what's going to happen is we're going to still talk about I'm Fat podcast things on this show.
Yeah.
But you guys can always expand upon them and do your own thing on the podcast.
Cross promotion. Oh,
thanks. Thank you. Thanks, Danny.
Well, I'm just saying I don't want to lose the food contributions on this show.
Thanks for giving us creative control over our own ideas.
I have a follow up to the turkey v ham conversation.
Oh, why?
Okay.
Because I was the ham part of that conversation.
You defended ham?
Yes.
That's like defending Clay Travis. Nobody does that.
Over a Thanksgiving turkey? Absolutely. So where I was at for Thanksgiving dinner, they underestimated the number of people that were going to be there.
Mm.
So by the time I got in line, you could tell they were going to run out of turkey at some point. So I sacrificed my turkey and went for, there was ham there as well.
Mm.
So I sacrificed the turkey that I would have had.
You fell on that grenade.
I did.
That's kind of the selfless fatness that makes you special, Rick.
Something has to.
Who does that? That was my big, we hosted this year for the first time. My biggest stress was having too little food. And we had way too much.
That's way what happens. You overcompensated.
And if we had gone with what I suggested, we would be eating turkey for 3 more months.
Really?
But Hope's like, Jay, will you calm down and trust me? I know what I'm doing. I know, but I still want to run out of food. I don't want to run out of food. We did not.
So how big a turkey did you want?
We did a 15-pound turkey for 15 people.
That's a lot of bird. A pound a person is usually what you do.
I wanted to do 20. Well, you have to understand, my parents
are... For Jay's
are,
individual turkey.
Yeah. My mother, who usually hosts, is the queen of overkill. So I said, hey, we need some black olives for the party. 4 cans.
Right.
Like, Mom, no one... We need 1 can. I'll bring... So everything she overbought, I brought back to her the next day.
Mm.
Here, put all this stuff somewhere. Keep it for next year. Your 6 cans of cranberry sauce.
So did you enter into a glorious weekend of leftovers?
No.
Oh,
the weekend was not glorious. I was a little busy, but
oh, that's true.
There were some fantastic mashed potatoes and turkey left, which is all that really matters. And Hope made the real gravy with like the turkey neck drippings.
That's
and
the stuff.
Oh, my
See
God.
Now what you need to do and like what I always love about the weekend after. Go get like a big bag of great rolls, like brioche buns or just like good sandwich rolls, whatever you want, and make phenomenal turkey sandwiches all freaking weekend long with a little cranberry sauce, a little gravy, a little stuffing on there.
Jay has never had cranberry sauce.
I did this weekend.
This was revealed on the podcast.
I did on Thanksgiving and I was underwhelmed.
Oh,
it was good.
Really?
I couldn't see desiring that. Like, I have to have that.
What? It's surprisingly essential once you get it in your flavor profile.
The King's Hawaiian roll there with the leftovers is clutch.
Sounds great.
Yep, that does sound good. I'm going to go home and have that now.
How's the diet?
Oh, not good. No. Thanksgiving week, you just scrap it. You scrap it. And, you know, this weekend just running around and having to grab as much fast food as I can because, you know, family stuff. But back on it today. Just had the fruit medley from Starbucks. Delightful. Mm. Thanks for that, Speaks.
How many songs in the
fruit
medley?
Thanks for including me in that Starbucks run, guys.
Oh, sorry about that.
By the way.
Your orange juice and lollipop you typically order from Starbucks?
Yeah. That's right.
I'll have the cake pop and a chocolate milk. Thank you very much. Yeah. I'm 11.
The fruit medley was grapes and apples. I don't know if that's much of a medley. That's more of an intro, but it got the job done.
Well, I'm glad you hosted and that went successfully well. The only way to do cranberry sauce, by the way, is to get the can of cranberry sauce, open the can and dump it onto the plate and leave it exactly in the full can form.
Yes.
You need the imprint of the can on the cranberry sauce for it to be considered legit.
Yes, get your real cranberries out of my cranberry sauce.
No, homemade cranberry sauce, bah humbug,
I say. You actually put the wrapper back on the sauce. Like, take it off the can and back on the sauce.
I want a nice, evenly cylindrical slice. So even cylindrical slice of cranberry sauce.
By the way, I didn't want to brag on the air, but just got a text from my wife who's listening. She said, you didn't talk about your smoked turkey. That was a real star, and it was. I smoked a turkey breast Thanksgiving morning, and it was outstanding. So I failed to mention
cool.
that.
Cool, right. Cool.
Did you? How big was the rolling paper to get that turkey breast in there? By the way,
smoked turkey, delicious.
Some apple pecan wood, delicious, delightful.
Danny, did you hear him, Jay, describe his the deep fried pumpkin pie? play-by-play that he did towards the end.
Deep fried pumpkin pie.
Oh, yeah.
I'm telling you guys, I loved every minute of it.
I love
this podcast. I think you guys are going to go to number one on the charts. I think you're going to surpass the popularity of all shows on this station. And mm-hmm. I really do think that my fallback job is going to be producing your podcast, if you'll have me. This is a stardom here.
I've already been fired.
I know. That's what I'm saying. There's an opening.
Should have gotten that salary.
And now there's a big debate. There's a race. What will I listen to first, the Madhouse Hockey Podcast or the I'm Fat Podcast?
I'm going to go with the I'm Fat Podcast.
You got to listen. You got to listen.
I'm in. I'll get there.
I think it hits the mark better for you.
Big Cat Williams.
I don't know, man. I've always loved food, and I listen about 20 minutes of food.
He loves hockey. 10 minutes at a time. Exactly. Spiegel and Parker's on the score.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
All right. You could be worse on the Spiegel and Parker show. We got Big Cat Williams coming up at noon. Basically, it's to try to make you feel better about the situation the Bears are in. Tough task this week.
after the Bears offered the absolute worst brand of football on an entire NFL Sunday.
Yeah, but sports or otherwise, things that are worse presently than the Chicago Bears. It could be people, it could be things, it could be days, it could be news stories. Mm. I felt like it would be worse to be Michael Crabtree than the Bears. You got your chain snatched twice by the same dude 2 years in a row, and you got thrown out of the game.
That's grandma's chain. For those who don't know, he loved his grandma, and Aqib Talib snatched it off his neck last year.
And he called his shot. Like, he pointed to left field and still hit the home run. Like, there's, like, nothing more disrespectful. Like, that's like I'm getting, like, spit in your face level of disrespect, getting your chain snatched. And it happened to the same dude twice.
Yeah, but then Crabtree fights back and gets ejected.
Yeah.
His team won.
It's team one.
It's team one.
Yeah, but he's got to be up in the box. And, like, in the battle of Talib v. Crabtree, Talib is now, like, the undisputed 10-8 knockout winner again.
How about Crabtree walking off, and there's Talib on the bench, and Crabtree's thinking about going after him, and Marshawn Lynch, well-known peacemaker Marshawn Lynch,
yes,
grabs Crabtree and escorts him off the field.
Also in that game, Paxton Lynch tearing up on the sidelines when he hurt his ankle. Got his shot, then he's bad, then he hurts his ankle, then he's caught on camera looking like he's crying.
What a mess that thing is.
Could be worse. Could be Paxton Lynch crying on national TV. Jay, you got one?
Yes, it could be worse. You could be the Philadelphia man that was taking a nap in a dumpster when a garbage truck came, lifted a dumpster, and dumped him in the truck.
Oh.
Yes, it took Philadelphia firefighters 2 hours to dig through trash and locate the guy.
Oh, my God!
And get him out.
Where did they have to dig through the can?
They had to dig, no, the actual garbage truck. The can had been dumped into the garbage truck. It's a big old dumpster. Yeah. It picks it up and just dumps it overhead.
And he got compacted?
And the guy was dumped into the truck. It took him 2 hours to find him. He was taken to Temple University Hospital with a lower abdominal hip and leg injuries.
Oh!
So that's a rough morning for a Philadelphia man who was just trying to take a nap in a dumpster. Leave me alone.
Can't a guy nap in a dumpster in peace anymore?
Trying to sleep off this Eagles win. The next thing I know, I'm in a dumpster. I'm in a dump truck.
I'm amazed that he got compacted. Like, those things immediately compacts the trash.
It's amazing he's alive.
Yeah.
So, actually, the story, as I'm telling you, just updated. He is listed in critical condition.
Oh.
So, I'm a bad guy.
Could be way worse.
But I didn't know. That was not the case when I clicked on the story earlier.
Yeah, the point of the story isn't just to read the obituary section of the newspaper. Hey,
that's a hell of an idea.
He could be under 6 feet of dirt.
Hey, you know what? This guy died. It could be him.
If they lose to the Browns, we might have to go there.
Okay. That
might be. We'll just read the obits. Yeah. Could be worse.
All right, it could be worse. You could be dead.
Oh, God.
Speaks, do you have any submissions for it could be worse?
Yeah, it could be worse. He could be the Alabama Hoops program the other night. Did you see this? Avery Johnson's the coach there, by the way, if you haven't been paying attention. His entire bench got ejected after a fight. So they ejected the entire bench, which meant only the five starters that were on the floor were allowed to play the rest of the game. And then of those five starters, Alabama versus Minnesota, one guy fouled out and another guy got hurt.
Yes.
So Alabama basketball, ordinarily takes an Alabama bounce, played 5-on-3. Not hockey, but basketball for 10 minutes and 41 seconds. 5-on-3. and they actually outscored Minnesota 30-22 in that time. They outscored Minnesota by 8 in 10.5 minutes, down 2 men.
And Pitino, it's Richard Pitino, right? Rick Pitino's son. He's the coach at Minnesota, and he's like, "Well, we don't really have much of a 5-on-3 offense. You're playing 5-on-3. It's like every possession is a fast break with your entire team.
Pick one guy with 2 people.
Yeah,
and start there.
Yeah. Pass it to the open guy, work towards the basket, lay it in.
And watching some of those highlights, there's a kid on Alabama named Sexton, not Charlie Sexton, that's a different conversation, but this kid Sexton had 40 points, and he looked like he was playing 21. Danny, you ever play 21 or 30,
yeah, of course.
Or 35 or whatever?
Yeah.
And it's like as soon as you get the ball, it's 1-on-4, 1-on-5, however many people are playing. That's what this kid was doing, and he put up 40. I mean, but anyway, could be worse. You could have 3 players in a college basketball game.
Texter's writing in saying that it could be worse. You could be Greg Schiano. You could have been accused of covering up child rape with a denial, no prosecution, and no tangible evidence against you, having cost yourself a chance to become a head coach again. I'm imagining Greg Schiano had a pretty rough weekend. Yeah, absolutely. Campy, you looked like you were about to submit one.
Yes, you could be the current fetus, soon-to-be daughter of Justin and Jordan Garten of Fort Smith, Arkansas. They're aficionados of Olive Garden, so much to the point that their daughter is going to be Olivia Garten.
Oh.
On top of this, Olivia Garten is going to be the daughter of parents that willingly went to Olive Garden every day. 6 straight weeks.
Oh, my God.
Because it's the only Italian place they have in Arkansas.
Oh.
It's a lot of breadsticks.
Yeah, the soup and salad combo.
When you set this up, I thought maybe her name was going to be Unlimited Breadsticks Garten or something.
Olivia. That would be better.
You have a ceiling on what you can accomplish in life if you're named after Olive Garden, right?
You think?
Yeah. I think that there's a ceiling on like what type of tax bracket you could enter or what type of profession, education level.
Oh,
I don't know what it is.
That's but so sad on so many levels. It's sad that – can you imagine culinarily speaking – to never know better Italian food than Olive Garden? I mean, to never know it? Sad. I feel
that
bad for them.
Here's the quote. We committed to eating there every day for 6 or 7 weeks to get our money's worth. It saved us several $100s when we really needed it, when they had their never-ending pasta pass in 2015. And they have a bunch of like onesies and stuff with the Olive Garden logo, and it says Olivia Garten in the same font.
Oh, my God. This is how you get famous in Arkansas, I guess.
There's other ways, but this is abuse. This is brutal.
Right.
All right, so...
That's a category for the I'm Fat podcast. Like, if you were going to name your child after a chain restaurant, you know?
The Hut.
That's pretty good. How about Rhett Lobster, maybe? Rhett Lobster?
I like that one.
I like Pete Zahut.
Chip Oatley Camp.
That's ridiculous.
Yeah, now you've taken it too far, Campy. MacDonald. All right.
Oh, wow.
We got Big Cat at noon, but coming back, we're back before Big Cat. There's an NFL team we all watched over the holiday, and I want to know why we're not taking it more seriously as a Super Bowl contender. It's coming up. Spiegel and Park is on the score.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
James Big Cat Williams on the show in 5 minutes. We have a Nico Mirotic sighting at Bulls practice. He's apparently on the practice floor. We'll be covering that story as it develops.
Breathlessly, Mike McGraw from the Daily Herald says Mirotic is out here running dummy offense before Bulls practice with Zach LaVine, Antonio Blakeney, Jaren Grant, and Cristiano Felicio. There's a 5.
Break up the Bulls.
They gave up 7 points in the first quarter yesterday and still managed to give up 100. That's tough to do.
It's impressive. Their commitment to being bad is remarkable.
They can do it.
From 7 points to then giving up 38 and 36 the next two.
Very
impressive.
That is some special stuff.
I'm considering going tomorrow night. Covering them.
Wow.
I'm going to cover them.
Get in there, man.
I'm considering it.
Go see
Devin Booker. Yeah, go see hi. Go check in.
Mm-hmm.
It's been a minute.
Go say hi to the guys that matter on that roster, the ones that'll be here when they're relatively good again sometime.
Yeah, I'm a maybe right now because it is still the Bulls.
So last year I catch hell for going to see Bulls Suns, and now you might go.
You paid for it.
This is true.
You paid for it. Huge difference. Huge difference,
but,
my friend.
By the way, real quick, the I'm Fat podcast, do I just go onto my regular podcast server and search I'm Fat? What do I have to do here?
It's on the Best of the Score page.
Okay.
Also, I have it linked. It's pinned at the top of my Twitter profile at RickCamp670.
Excellent.
So you can find it there as well.
Okay. Good to know.
My NFL question for you.
Yeah, man.
Why are people not taking the Vikings seriously as a Super Bowl threat? They do everything well.
They even run the ball well without Dalvin Cook.
Imagine if they had him.
I think they run the ball better than they were with Dalvin Cook.
Right, but assuming like he would have, you know, figured it out, got more comfortable in the offense, all that
but
stuff.
But it's crazy.
It's crazy.
Latavius Murray had, what, 95 yards, and Jerick McKinnon is useful, et cetera.
I know why the narrative is, okay, Case Keenum is Case Keenum. He's playing really well.
Incredibly well. It's Case Keenum doubt. It's a lack of belief in Case Keenum from week to week. And because they themselves have built into that by Teddy Bridgewater, like, are they going to switch quarterbacks at some point? I don't think they can now, by the way.
I don't either. And they've only just said, like, we're going to keep letting this thing play out. Case is playing really, he is playing unbelievably well.
Yeah.
This is the exact type of team that wins games and wins championships with bad quarterbacks.
With a great defense.
Great coach, great defense, great line play, great wide receivers. He's got Diggs and Thielen and Rudolph and McKinnon and that line and that coaching staff. And the Super Bowl is in Minneapolis, so they got that little carrot dangling out there. If you like the storyline aspect of it,
mm-hmm.
easily could have a first round bye and at least one home playoff game if they don't catch the Eagles.
So you're saying Niners Eagles? Vikings Eagles in your NFC Championship game?
Carson Wentz, Case Keenum, which is insane. And listen, anybody in the NFC can beat anybody else. Like, I don't think that there's a truly great team, even though it's a very competitive conference. I'm not saying it's a lock. I'm saying they should be taken seriously.
Yes.
They look really good. Short week going on the road, beating Detroit on Thanksgiving in the early game, coming off of another win. It's not an easy spot to go into and look dominant like they did.
How much does coaching matter and weapons matter in the NFL? Your Rams quarterbacks last year, Jared Goff and Case Keenum. And Case Keenum couldn't last there.
Yeah.
And so they had to go to Jared Goff, and he looked awful. And now both those guys are going
to
be in the playoffs.
So I'm looking forward to seeing the Vikings getting tested. Like that. Let me just pull up their schedule real
please
quick.
Please do. Please do. Because
they've got two big games back to back. I want to say Atlanta and Carolina, but I could be off on that.
Okay.
Let me just pull it up
because
real quick.
The Rams got tested.
Yeah, Atlanta at Carolina next 2 weeks.
Atlanta and Carolina.
So
excellent.
Let's see, because that team looks really damn good.
Case Keenum last year with the Rams had a 60% completion percentage. They went 4-5. He threw 11 picks and 9 touchdowns. And the Rams got tested yesterday. That was the matchup of the day.
Yep.
And it was really, really interesting to watch for a long, long time. And the Rams looked very, very good, even without Robert Woods. Their backup wide receiver looked fine.
No break. We'll talk to Big Cat Williams after an update on the score.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto-pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto-pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.